Hello!
Hey guys, it's Arden Cho.
Hey, I'm Holland Roden.
Hello, this is Ian Bowen.
Hey you guys, this is Melissa Ponzio.
Hi, I'm Lyndon Ashby.
Hi, I'm Dylan Sprayberry.
This is Megan Tandy.
This is Tyler Posey, and you are listening to Not Another.
Not Another.
Not Another.
This is Not Another Teen Wolf Podcast.
Yes, it is!
Oh.
Woo!
Hey, this is Jeff Davis. You're listening to Not Another Teen Wolf Podcast, my favorite podcast in the world.
Everyone, welcome to Not Another Teen Wolf podcast, episode 113. We hope that you have been having a good hiatus. It's almost time for it to be finished, and we're starting to prep up for actually covering season 5B of Teen Wolf coming back. But before we do that, we are here today, Karen and I'm your host Natalie, Karen is your host Karen, are here to talk about something that we did around this time last year. Actually, we did an episode similar, which is catching you guys up on the side projects of the current Teen Wolf cast and some of the really big things being done by the former Teen Wolf cast as well. Just sort of a yearly review of like what's out, what's coming out that you can look around for if you kind of want to support these actors. And we've also introduced a little bit of a new segment as well, which is talking about the current side projects that is going on with MTV in terms of their scripted drama. Because as you may or may not know, Teen Wolf was the first proper scripted show that MTV ever had. It's certainly been the most successful, or the first one that was successful. And since that, they've branched out into doing a lot of other scripted shows, some of which we've covered on Hyperbole, some of which have lasted, some of which haven't, but they have some big ones coming. So Karen's done quite a bit of work surrounding that already that we're going to talk about as well. So if you want to get in touch with us at all about if you've seen any of these projects, if you have more questions, if we've missed something and you want to tell us about something that one of the cast is doing, you can contact us on our Twitter, which is NATW Podcast. You can contact us on our email address, which is a Gmail, natwpodcast@gmail.com. You can join us on Tumblr, which is notanotherteenwolfpodcast.tumblr.com. Or you can comment on this post on Hyperbole, our parent website. You can also join us on our Instagram, natwpodcast, where we occasionally post pictures and things like that of usually when we go to live events or something like that, but we'll see. Perhaps we'll post some fun reaction photos of ourselves after the new season premiere or something like that. Yes, Karen, did you have anything you wanted to say before we start this episode about the Teen Wolf cast in the past year or MTV or what we're going to be talking about?
Not really. I think that it'll all speak for itself. I think that it's exciting, some of the projects that they've decided to take on, and could mean big things for them.
Cool. So this episode is my baby a little bit. I tend to fall down the IMDb hole researching all of this stuff. So I'll be telling you guys about most of the projects. Karen is certainly a bit of an expert in a couple of departments, particularly the Maze Runner department, because obviously we've been covering that on Hyperbole, and so a lot of stuff happened with that this year as well. But I'll be sort of leading this discussion about the cast projects, and then Karen obviously will be hearing about some of them for the first time or teaching me about some of them as well. And there's some really cool stuff in here from some, like, you know, either guest stars that we kind of still love from Teen Wolf or some of the main cast as well. So, yeah, last year in our side projects, we did an episode around December 2014, so we'll see what has happened since then, basically. So, jumping right into the current cast, we'll start with Tyler Posey. Obviously, he is kind of the lead of Teen Wolf, which does keep him fairly busy, meaning that he actually hasn't had a lot on aside from Teen Wolf in the past year, or coming up in the next few months. The biggest thing, obviously, for him outside of playing Scott that we have learned is that he is you know, a producer of Teen Wolf and is going to be directing an episode of Teen Wolf. So that's kind of, it's a semi-side project in that it's a whole different avenue of work for him to be doing, basically. You know, still in the Teen Wolf camp, but it's a pretty big thing to take on. Just in case you missed sort of some of the news about that, Karen, what exactly do we know about, you know, Tyler's role as a producer and a director at the moment?
You just said everything we know.
He's producing, there's not he's a directing, whole lot. We don't know. That's it.
End of story. Yeah. The only other thing that I can talk about is how excited he is. And I'm sure if, you know, listeners have been listening to us and heard our Comic-Con and post-Comic-Con episodes, we talked a little bit about that and how it was revealed and everything. And he was, I mean, he knew before... obviously anybody else knew. But when Jeff was like, hey, Posey, I'm telling people this now, Posey just lost his mind. Like, he was so excited. He's so into it. He spent quite a bit of time at our round tables talking about what it means to him. And he's taking it extremely seriously. And he's worried that, you know, cast members and his friends aren't necessarily going to take him seriously and stuff. But I don't think he has anything to worry about. I think everybody on that show has a lot of respect for him as a leader and just as a person in general. We've heard a lot of stories about how he kind of takes people under his wing and stuff like that. So I think it's going to be really cool. I'm very curious to see how different it's going to be compared to the others, if it's going to have a really strong, like, signature to it, or if it's just going to kind of blend in. I think either one of those things is a good thing. So until we learn more, not, you know, there aren't any other details that we can really share, but I'm really excited to see what he does.
Yeah, it's a really fun thing. And I think, like, you know, as we've said, you know, a lot of people with the show have always said, like, he's the, you know, he's number one on the call sheet. He's the team leader for the show. Like, as much as he thinks that people might not take him seriously because he thinks he's a bit of a joker or whatever, he's very earnest. And when it comes down to it, I think everyone on the cast does kind of revolve around him and that they will actually be really great with him. So I hope that that's going to be good. He does have a couple of movie projects still kind of in the works, one of which we talked a bit about last year called Yoga Hoses, which is a Kevin Smith project starring Kevin Smith's daughter and Johnny Depp. And Tyler Posey plays one of the kids at Kevin Smith's daughter's school. That movie is completed but hasn't been released yet. It's meant to be released in January this year. So that is actually something you can see pretty soon. Like, you know, if you go and look that up now, there's so much more information about it, like production stills, trailers, all of that kind of stuff. It had a big panel at Comic-Con in Hall H because Kevin Smith is a really big deal at Comic-Con. And I'm not sure if Posey attended that panel or if he was trapped in Teen Wolf press, but that is a thing that's happening very soon, basically, that will be coming out in the cinemas really soon, or in, you know, maybe a digital, you know, release. I'm not sure how they're going to put it out, but that's something to look out for if you've been kind of keeping up with him. And the other thing that he has is a movie that he actually filmed like 3 years ago, 4 years ago, called Taco Shop, which was, I think, released initially in some not very high quality way. And that movie is now slated for re-release in 2016 with better, like, I think they're upping the production. Like, they might have been going back over the original film, you know, editing. They're cleaning it up for a proper release, basically. And, like, I think he used to have a picture from this as his icon or something like this, like, a long time ago. But it's a movie, basically, about a kid who runs a taco shop whose business is jeopardized when, like, a gourmet taco food truck parks across the street. So it's kind of going to be, like, a comedy, you know, ridiculous little, you know, true-to-life comedy, I guess. That's basically something that we might be able to see in 2016, but the initial version of it was originally created way back in 2012. So they're two movies that you can see him in soon, I suppose, which should be fun, I think. So that's it for him at the moment, I think. But didn't you say something about Lip Sync Battle as well?
Oh my gosh, yes. How could we forget the most important thing on this list? Yes, he's going to be on Lip Sync Battle, which I think is the most genius show ever created. I haven't actually watched all the episodes, but sometimes, like, you just need to watch certain ones because the people on there are so great. But can you imagine Posey on Lip Sync Battle?
Oh.
Because he's... He's ridiculous when he's not putting on a show. When they give him the room to put on a show, he's going to be a menace. That's the only way I can describe it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, he's really good with kind of live, I don't want to say performance. It is kind of, you know, like presenting and being himself on, mm-hmm. on television. He obviously did the hosting of Wolf Watch this year, which, again, is in the Teen Wolf family, but it's a different role to just acting. And just anything like, you know, when he hosts award shows and all sorts of stuff. So this is going to be fun for him to play with, I think. And do you know when that's going to happen?
No, they just released the first trailer for season 2, which highlighted some select performances. His wasn't on there at all, but there was just this like few seconds where he kind of pops up off to the side where somebody's like, yeah, you're going down. And he was like, bring it on or whatever. I don't remember exactly what was said, but it was just sort of like behind the curtain type of stuff. And he was just in regular clothes. So we have no idea what he's doing, but I'm sure it's going to be great.
Cool. Well, that should be fun. oh, God, this is going to be crazy. all right, so that's him. Why don't you tell us about Dylan and what you know about what he's been doing lately or what he's got coming up?
Yeah, two big things for me. The third one, I think, is also a very big deal, probably bigger than these other two, but I haven't researched it too much, so I'll let Natalie kind of do that. But first thing is Score Trials came out, which ended up being a success. I think it was, I mean, I don't know like numbers wise, but the feel of the movie was bigger than Maze Runner. And
it was
really enjoyed
buses and stuff.
Yeah.
Like I saw his head on a lot of public transportation all over the world. So that's kind of, weird.
I mean, yeah, you know that he's made it then. Score Trials ended up being another excellent movie in the Maze Runner franchise. As somebody who has read just those two books, and I don't particularly love them, but I love the movies. The reason why I started reading them was because Dylan got cast as Thomas in the movie, so I'm definitely coming in as like a fan of Dylan, but ended up staying for a lot of other aspects of the movie, including director Wes Ball, who I think is absolutely brilliant. He does an amazing job with these, and I just got the Blu-ray for Score Trials, and I was listening to the audio commentary, and I was watching some of the featurettes, and Dylan was, you know, good, and he had a lot of interesting things to say, but Wes was, like, the true star of that, and he was talking about, like, how he adapts the books to make a better film, and how he changes things to make it a better film, not just because he wants to put his own spin on it, but because it helps the story. Mm-hmm. And you can tell he really cares about this story, and he really wants to bring the best thing he can to the screen, which is why I think, you know, they're getting a third movie. They got a second movie, and then they're getting a third movie. They are adapting The Death Cure, which is the third book, the final book in the trilogy. And Wes said of that, and of course, you know, Dylan's still going to be in it, but he said of that, it's going to be a very different movie. We're not going to be in the same kind of setting anymore. We're going to go a little bit more future, do something a little gritty, a little film noir almost. It's going to be cool. And I just laugh that, you know, he says
it
later on, like,
it's gritty, like...
Yeah, and later on he says, it's going to make the movie feel even bigger. I'm like, are you kidding me? Did you even watch your own movie, Score Trials? That's about as big as I thought you could go. But he's really ramping up for The Death Cure, and I think Dylan is just going to continue to deliver on that because it's very different from his role on Teen Wolf, but you can see – some of the drama and some of the emotional moments that he's had to play before kind of incorporated into this new movie. And it just proves, you know, he can carry a franchise, which not everyone can do, but Dylan definitely can.
Little side note about the Scorch Trials Maze Runner world. One of my favorite little British actors who's he's one of the gang in those movies, Thomas Brody Sangster, he plays Newt. Did you spot him in Star Wars?
Kristen and I literally sat up in our chairs and looked at each other when he popped up, because we had no idea he was going to be in it.
Yeah, Tom Sangster, FYI, you know, is, yeah, he's young British dude. A lot of people first knew him as he's the kid in Love Actually, and then he's had a career in America and UK, and I'm really, really big fan of him in pretty much everything he's done. And yeah, he had a cameo in the new Star Wars movie, and I was like, is that Tom Sangster to Leo in the middle of the cinema as well? So
yeah,
that was fun.
That was pretty much what we did too, because our jaws dropped open. We were so excited.
What was the Maze Runner press like at Comic Con? Because you were running off doing that like a fair bit. Like, you went to the Nerd HQ, did you go to the big panel for it as well?
No, I couldn't go to the big panel because something else was going on. I don't remember what it was, but I was trying to be in too many places at once and I couldn't do it. But the Nerd HQ thing was really, it was intense, but it was also like very intimate. It was a really small setting. Only, you know, maybe 50 people were in the room with the cast. And I really like watching Dylan give interviews when he's like comfortable. It's a place where he feels like, you know, he can just be himself because he's just ridiculous. And it's clear that this cast has a lot of inside jokes and they're just good friends and they pick on each other and everything. And it's, I think the fandom is not huge, but it's big enough that they make, you know, their voices heard. And I think a lot of times what I hear about the movies is that they're better than the books. And mm-hmm. almost nobody says that, like, ever. So okay, I think that's just a testament to not only Dylan, but to Wes and what they've done with the movies. Mm-hmm. Excited about that. But the second thing that I just recently kind of looked into was that Dylan was just cast to star in Little White Corvette. And this was a movie written, I think, back in 2012. And it was meant to star Emma Stone, but they couldn't find, she was cast as like this wild sister, and then she had a younger brother, and they couldn't find a brother who would kind of, I guess, play well off of her, and it sat in limbo for a couple of years. She finally dropped out, and just now it's kind of coming back around. Dylan was just cast as the brother, and the synopsis reads, it centers on a dysfunctional pair of siblings, a nerdy brother and a wild older sister, who find a stash of cocaine in their late father's 1957 Corvette Stingray. They hope to make their problems disappear by scoring $1 million deal in Miami, but their road trip goes south when they are pursued by not only the police, but a mysterious man in a Dodge Demon.
Wow, this sounds crazy. And I'm just saying,
yeah.
The director, the guy they've got in talks for directing, is the guy who directed The Inbetweeners. And I don't know, do you know if that's the UK Inbetweeners, or did they make an American adaptation of that? Because
it's UK one.
Yeah, the UK Inbetweeners is fantastic. It's really, it's almost hard to watch because it's so embarrassing, but it is, that he know, this guy knows how to do comedy. It's very real. It's very, like, cuts too close real, if you know what I mean. So it should be interesting to watch, basically.
This is going to be another Fox movie, which is what owns Maze Runner. Not that that necessarily means anything, but I think it's interesting that he's doing another movie under Fox. Mm. And I don't know, the sister hasn't been cast yet, but I think it's really cool that he's sort of leading this now, that, you know, he's been cast,
he's
now
the
they're
first
looking for
name. Yeah, like, and they need someone to suit him. Yeah.
And he's done High Road, which, not quite same thing, but about drugs and, like, a road trip.
And, yeah.
Yeah, premise, but kind of similar. So this one, obviously, I think is going to be a little bit bigger than that. Mm. That felt very indie. But, yeah, I'm I'm looking forward to it. Like, I'm not crazy about the whole drug storyline, but he's playing a nerdy brother. That's going to be cool. I'm into that.
Yeah. And then he actually has, I guess, a smaller part in a really big movie coming out called Deepwater Horizon, which is kind of it's like an action disaster film about the Deepwater Horizon explosion in the Gulf of Mexico, the oil spill thing. I'm not sure if it was it was like oil rig, I think, like what it was. I don't know exactly about it. Anyway, it's going to be a big action movie, probably about, like, you know, some personal people involved in that trying to save a certain element. I don't know how true to life it's going to be, but it's a big one. It's like led by, like, Mark Wahlberg, John Malkovich, Kate Hudson. He has a small role in that as well. That's a Lionsgate production, who do, you know, Lionsgate sort of got, they used to be a really small production company that got bigger and bigger, and the biggest project they've had is The Hunger Games. But yeah, he's announced who is the youngest crew member among the survivors of the team, I guess, the explosion that took place. So, and then Mark Wahlberg's character is based on a real life person. So this is going to be an element of, like, true story about a disaster. So, do you like those kind of movies, like, Karen? Like, you know, 9/11 and, like, all of those kind of movies about those circumstances?
Yeah, those are usually the ones that make me cry.
Oh,
it's when they're, like, based on true events. Like, could be a sports movie, could be a disaster movie.
Oh, God.
It's
sports
just, yeah.
Movies, like, yeah, I cry so much.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah.
So, do you know how big his role is? Like, is he one of, I mean, obviously he's not the lead, but if he's the youngest member of the surviving crew or whatever, does he have, like, a main role throughout the movie?
Well, there are 6 people billed so far. Like, compare this to, like, The Martian, for example. The Martian is, like, lead guy with, like, team that belongs to lead guy. I think Dylan is, like, the youngest person that's, like, on the team of survivors stuck with the lead guy, if you know what I mean. He's one of the only 6 people who's been announced. So I assume he's not, like, got a little role stuck in the corner. It's probably not massive, but it's, like, you know, it's him, Gina Rodriguez from Jane the Virgin. She's amazing and just got a Golden Globe, and she's so good at everything, and so she's in it. She's a really big deal, and she's the female lead. Kate Hudson's obviously quite big. Kurt Russell, John Malkovich, they're both very famous veteran actors, and then Dylan, like, that's who's been announced. So I think that's going to be, like, a core ensemble team of, you know, the people who are, you know, surviving and surrounding the disaster, basically.
Awesome. Cool.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
I think it's great that he's working with so many big names.
I'm really excited to see him, if he plays against Gina Rodriguez at any point. Like, I will explode. Brooke will explode. Like, the world may explode, basically. So that should be interesting. But yeah, so that's what he's got. I'm not sure what else, but that's what he is, and he's not Spider-Man, so yay for that.
Yeah, definitely not Spider-Man.
Yeah. Moving on to Arden, she's got a couple of projects in the works that I don't know how, like, legit they are. Like, I researched them. I don't know if they're, like, big or not big. One of them sounds kind of interesting. One of them sounds kind of scary. First of all, a project of hers that we talked about last year, which was kind of the musical that was, like, set in the subway car with all these different people that got stuck in the subway together. That's in post-production to actually be released. It has not yet been released, and it's now got a title, which is called Stuck. So I'm actually still quite keen to see that when it comes out. But, yeah, that has not been yet released. But she has 2 projects that are listed as coming up. One is called The Snake Key. And there's a trailer for it released, which has a girl in it, which I can't tell is her or not, or if it's just, like, stock footage, because it doesn't actually come up to her face. It's just, like, this girl sailing down the river in a boat. Basically, this girl, Maggie, finds out that her father, who was the owner of a Wild West theme park in the middle of China, has been murdered. She leads a quest for revenge to stop the evil Lao Che from conquering the Snake Key, a legendary power that could submit humanity to his will. She's definitely builders in it, according to them, but I don't know if she's actually going to be playing Maggie, the lead. If there's flashbacks, she could be playing the mother of that child, because the story in the trailer seems to be about her. Actually, ironically, like, that her father was this, like, kind of smart, savvy guy, and her mother was like a 600-year-old spirit. So where have you heard that before? it's got a bunch of stuff about, like, this mythology, and it's also kind of weirdly tied into being like having like the tropes of like a Western. And so it actually looks interesting. The trailer's quite pretty. Like, the cinematography is, if this is actually filmed from the movie. But I don't know how big this movie is going to be or where it's going to come out or anything like that. But I actually would watch this movie. It looks really, really cool to me. But I don't know how big a deal it is or if it's kind of just someone's small creative passion project that's not actually going to see the light of day. The other thing she's apparently in is called Flex with a double X, and she's currently the top billed female in it, and this is a movie scheduled in 2018, so this may be a big thing that hasn't had much news about it yet, or it may be again someone's ambitiousness. She's billed as basically currently the top billed actress in this movie, which is about basically an elite task force in the CIA who have been tracking an agent who has been, it's got a very long synopsis on IMDb. I think it's basically a slightly hyper-realistic kind of, like, action thriller government agent thing. I don't know if it's meant to have any unrealistic elements, like any scientific or, any sci-fi or fantasy elements. I think it doesn't. I think it's actually just meant to be a straight-up crime thriller, but it does star James Duval, who's kind of, he's a pretty famous, like, ongoing character actor from, he's had a very long career, he's a known name, and then said she's the top billed female as Agent Ogawa, and Sam Morlock is just James Duval, he's the lead, but it doesn't say in the synopsis what her exact role would be, but I'm imagining it's going to be relatively big if she's sort of got the current top billing on it. But I don't know, reading that synopsis, what does this movie feel like to you?
It feels like an action movie, which I would totally be into. I would love to see her in more roles, like bigger roles, like the one she has on Teen Wolf. I think she's fantastic at it, and I know she's been trained in martial arts before, and she has those abilities already, so it's not, I mean, she probably would still have to be trained for any movie that they're in, like with the choreography and stuff, but she already has that sort of in her bank, so I would love to see her in a big role where she's like a lead female action star. That's like totally my jam. Going back to the Snake Key, it sounds terrible. It sounds like a bad movie, which are usually my favorites, as you know.
It's got martial arts as well.
Yeah. Like, I'm into it. I think it could be cool. It does feel like one of those smaller productions. And I was trying to watch the trailer. It doesn't really look like her in it, but like you said, you don't really see the girl's face except from a distance. So maybe they just, like, had a stand-in. Maybe she doesn't play the lead role or something's going on there. But I think I would love to see Arden do some bigger stuff. I think she's really great. Mm. And I think it's a great way to get her name out there more, because I think she has the ability to do comedy, action, drama. Like, she's kind of got a little bit of everything. She sings, you know, she can do pretty much anything she wants at this point.
Mm, yeah. So just to quickly summarize Flex, in kind of a paraphrasing way, the lead actor, Troy, the main character, basically finds out that his entire family, his girlfriend, his mother, like all of the deaths that have happened in his family over the past however long, have been assassinated by this rogue agency of the CIA called Flex, and he basically is both on the run from them and trying to find out, like, who they are and stop them. So that they must have been... It's kind of like Hydra and S.H.I.E.L.D., if you know what I mean. Like, that it's someone kind of within the good part of the agency finding out that there's a rogue cell that have been both causing him personal trouble and obviously causing the world trouble. So it's one of those stories, basically. And she's currently billed as, you know, a ROSA, like one of the agents on the good side. So, yeah, we'll see. Maybe she'll get to, like, have a gun and kick down a door and stuff.
Yes. Plus, I'm into it because I had a crush on James Duval in Independence Day.
Oh, is he in that? I've never seen that.
Yes. Natalie.
I'm not American. What?
Okay. You, like, know more things about America than I do. All right. Whenever we go places, you're my tour guide. Okay. So you have no excuse.
Well, I'll watch it at some point. Okay. So... just very quickly, Shelley doesn't have anything majorly new. She has two movies that we talked about last year that have both come out. One was, I think, was called Scout, is now called About Scout. That's apparently come out, probably not in the cinema. I don't know if you can get that online, but it's that one about the goth girl going on a road trip across Texas with a suicidal young man in an effort to find her little sister. And it's got, you know, Nikki Reed from Twilight, Jane Seymour, Ellen Burstyn, Danny Glover, and Shelley is in it as well as one of the leads. I haven't seen that, but I'm actually quite interested. I didn't know it had already come out, so I'm going to try and look up and see if I can watch it. And the other one, I think, was called... Still Life, and this is now called Summer of Eight, and that's kind of the one about just a coming of age, everyone's finishing high school, we're on the beach and having feelings before we go and live the rest of our lives. And that one is still scheduled for 2016 if you're interested in following up on Shelley. So what's next? Ryan Kelly, did you want to look at that one?
Yeah. I love Ryan Kelly, but I'm disappointed in this because it's not what I thought it was. He is going to be in something called Lucifer, and before you get excited and think it's the television show that will be coming out soon, it's not. It's a movie set for 2016, and the synopsis says, a young caretaker and her family are tormented by the devil after she agrees to write the chilling story of a patient haunted by the relentless demonic being. And Ryan Kelly will be playing Peter Matheson.
Is he the demented being?
I don't know. I really don't know. He, like, I'm trying to look at the last names. Like, there's the Sheriff Davis, which obviously you can figure out what his role is. Danielle Kane and Richard Kane. I think that's interesting. Their last name's Kane. Seems like that could be the family. So if his last name's Matheson, maybe he's, yeah, somebody else, or I don't know. But I would like to see him on Lucifer, the television show.
Yeah, why don't we take an opportunity to tell these people about Lucifer instead?
Okay, let me look up a more, like, a better synopsis. Okay, so Lucifer, when does this come out? Okay, so Lucifer the television show comes out January 25th, 2016, so very soon.
Yeah.
And it stars Tom Ellis, who plays Lucifer Morningstar. And the synopsis reads, Lucifer has left hell to take up a life on Earth. When a friend of his is murdered, Lucifer joins forces with the good side of the law to discover who the perpetrators are. And so basically,
did
Lucifer's
playing... Did you see the pilot at Comic-Con?
I did.
Oh,
it's really good.
So good, you guys.
Yeah, it made me laugh so much. And Tom Ellis as Lucifer is, like, he's
so beautiful.
Perfect because he's so charming. And you fall in love with literally the devil.
Yeah, it's so good. And like, let's do a podcast about Lucifer. It's such a great show. It's Tom Ellis is just, he's so... good. Like, he's such, I love him. Like, you, British listeners might know him if you've seen Miranda, like the sitcom Miranda Hart sitcom. He's Gary in that, which is a completely opposite role to this, but I love him, and he's Lucifer, and it's this, the show is basically like Castle, except instead of being a writer, he's the devil. Like, it's him teaming up with a female cop to, like, help, if you know what I mean. And it's based on the Neil Gaiman interpretation of Lucifer that started in Sandman, in which basically the devil, like Lucifer, he gives up hell. He gives it over to other people, and he's like, nah, peacing out of here, don't want to do this job anymore, going to go live on Earth and live on a beach somewhere. And this is basically, and then other writers extended the story of that character in his, to his own comic book series. It's actually a DC property, technically. It's not the same universe as, like, the current DC shows, but it's technically owned by DC right at the top of the chain. And, yeah, it's going to be amazing, and the pilot was so good and funny, and, like, it's not just like, oh, I'm charming the whole way through. He's, like, ruthless as fuck, and it's so good, and I'm so excited, and I wish Ryan Kelly was in that show instead.
Yes, that would be amazing. Cause, and the cool mystery, like, right at the top of the pilot is that this, like, Lucifer can manipulate people. He can charm people into doing whatever he wants them to do, except for this cop.
Yeah.
And he's like, wait, my charms aren't working on you? And she's just like, really?
What?
Yeah. Yeah, like, she's like, this dude's crazy. But they have a really good relationship right from the beginning, like, really complicated, sort of sassy relationship, and I love it so much.
Yeah, I'm very excited for that.
What else did I want to say about this really quickly? Now I don't remember. Oh, I was looking at people who liked this also liked, and Constantine is on here, and I got really sad.
About Lucifer, sorry.
Yeah.
Constantine is also a character that was used in the DC Sandman universe, so maybe he'll pop up in Lucifer, Karen. You know how he, like, keeps wanting to pop up as Constantine in different places? Lucifer
don't.
Would be, like, the number one best place for that character to go.
Oh, my God.
Just so you know.
Don't get me excited.
Just so you know.
Moving on.
Let's talk about Dylan Sprayberry is actually in... I did not know this movie was happening. It's quite strange. The trailer is already out. It is a movie called Vanished, Left Behind, Next Generation. do you know anything about the Left Behind series? Have you ever heard of it?
What's it about?
It's basically about what happens on Earth once the rapture happens and all Christian people get, like, zapped up to heaven or something like that, and that, you know, like, the end of days, and that it's, like, what happens when everyone is left behind, if you know what I mean. It's not quite like The Leftovers, that's a whole... When The Leftovers came out, I thought The Leftovers was going to be what Left Behind is, if you know what I mean. Like, I thought that was basically what that was. It's basically focuses on people left on Earth after the rapture happens, and it's kind of a criticism. It's not like pro-Christian rapture, if you know what I mean. It's kind of like anti that. It's like, you know, all apocalyptic and stuff like that. Anyway, several movies have been made of this franchise. There were 16 books. And I used to work in a bookshop, and we used to have to restock them all the time. So I kind of became familiar with this. There have been movies made of this already. One was a reboot came out. I think there was original in like 2000. And then a reboot came out in 2014 with Nicolas Cage. I don't know who was in the original. And then... Apparently, yeah, Dylan Sprayberry is in this Next Generation one, which is basically the same concept. I don't know if it's in the same universe as the Nicolas Cage one, but it is the same concept of this gang of, I guess, kids. It's like the younger generation. Mason Dye, by the way, who was, you know, one of those weird non-teenage killers in Teen Wolf. He's also in this with Dylan Sprayberry.
That's probably why Sprayberry did it, because let's be real, those guys are best friends.
Yeah,
and
that's
whenever he can talk about how much he loves Mason Dye, he does.
It's quite likely they belong to the same agency and were, like, met by going out to castings together, so I wouldn't be that shocked if they were both pitched for the same thing. Yeah, I don't know, like, if this is meant to be a sequel to that or if this is just another thing set in that universe, unrelated. But, I mean, the trailer looks like, you know, there's some pretty big, like, special effects. Like, it's quite a big production. I have no idea how much money was put into it, but it's due out in February 2016. So that's what that's going to basically about, a bunch of kids fending for themselves when the end times have come. So yeah, and I'm pretty sure it's not Christian propaganda. I'm pretty sure it's like anti-Christian propaganda, but I have never quite got the hang of what the hell is going on with the Left Behind books, so if someone wants to correct us on that, feel free. But that's what he's doing, basically. I'm also curious about his whole, like, Superman thing, because obviously he was you know, Henry Cavill, the young version of Henry Cavill's Superman. And Henry Cavill's Superman is sort of coming back in, you know, Batman versus Superman. that winning piece of cinema. And look, no, I mean, maybe I'm not giving it a chance. I actually really like Henry Cavill, and I really conceptually like Superman. I like what Superman sort of suffered the same problem as I think that Steve Rogers suffered, like, when the Marvel kind of reboot started happening. And Superman's been suffering that for the last, like, 40 years, in that Superman at heart is a very compassionate, very wonderful character, but that's kind of been, like, machoed and stupefied, like, over the past, you know, however many years that those DC stuff was at the forefront. But there's some really lovely stuff with the Superman story if it was handled the right way. It hasn't really been handled the right way. And I like Henry Cavill as an actor. I have not seen the Superman movie, though, I will admit. I'd like him in other things. The point is, he's in Bats vs. Supes, and Dylan Sprayberry was the child, you know, flashback of Henry Cavill in Man of Steel, in the first Henry Cavill Superman. So I'm wondering if, like, they're ever going to use him again for any, you know, past scenes, if you know what I mean, with Superman. I don't know, but we'd probably know if he was going to be in Bat vs. Supes, but if he's in any other ones.
Yeah. I don't know.
Anyway, that's a thing that is a possibility. Yeah. Do you want to talk about the Linden one now?
Sure. I just claim this mostly because I love Linden.
Okay.
but he's going to be in a movie called Beta Test. And the synopsis is, champion gamer Max Troy discovers events in a new video game are being mirrored in the real world and must join forces with the game's protagonist, Orson Creed, to unravel the conspiracy before the game's sinister plot overwhelms the city.
This is such a boring movie.
I know, but I actually really love movies like this. Like, anytime there are, like, gamer movies and it has to do with real life.
Oh, you jump into the game and, like,
yeah, like, oh man, I'm so into it. So this is pretty exciting. And Manu Bennett is going to be in it.
Yeah, I thought he'd like that.
He's going to play Orson Creed. So that's intense. And Larence Tate is going to be playing Max. And Lyndon's going to be playing Kincaid, but I don't think we know who Kincaid is. I hope he's not a bad guy. No, I didn't.
Watch the trailer, because he seems to be kind of one of the, like, you know, people in charge, in the kind of, like, you know, but I don't know whether it's in a good or a bad way. So he might be the bad guy.
Oh, no, Lyndon.
Well, watch the trailer. It's actually good. You can watch it quietly while I'm talking about the next thing, and then you can...
Okay. All right.
So you watch that. Cody Christian, our new best friend Cody Christian, he is actually going to be in a James Franco property, which I found quite interesting. James Franco has, like, written a bunch of books and stuff, like, and I mean, he's done screenwriting on things as well, but he has written like this book Palo Alto, which is basically these, like, basically short stories about people being horrible. Like, it's just, it's just miserable, like, real life, like, stuff. And Killing Animals, which is this movie that's coming out, which James Franco is going to be in, Cody Christian is going to be in it. He's billed high in it at the moment as well. James Franco is starring, and he is the one of the writers as well. I think this is an adaptation of one of the stories in Palo Alto. I may be wrong, but I think that that's what it is, because I have Palo Alto, and it's kind of reminding me of that. Anyway, the synopsis is: Killing Animals is a portrait of a lost generation of California youths, the lives of troubled teenage misfits intertwine as they experiment with vices of all kinds and succumb to self-destructive, often heartless nihilism. Yeah, this is exactly what happens in Palo Alto, so if it's not an adaptation of that, then James Franco has written multiple books about being a miserable teenage hedonistic idiot. Cody Christian will be really good in this movie. And that's not meant to be, like, an insult to him, like, or anything. Like, for what this movie needs, like, Theo Rakin would fit right in with these people. Like, it will be... So this will actually be... If you kind of like movies that are kind of, like, dark and miserable, just about people being gross, this movie will be like that, basically. So... That's actually quite cool, and it's quite a big deal. That one could be like kind of a film festival circuit one, so that could be quite a big deal for him. So we'll have to keep an eye on what happens with that one, actually. So yeah, Karen, did you finish watching the trailer?
Oh my god, I literally just finished. I have so many things to say now.
Okay, would you like to talk about the movie again now? Let's go back to talking about Beta Test.
Just really quickly, because one, Lyndon totally looks like the bad guy.
I'm sorry.
And I'm really upset about it. But two, he looks like he's going to have a sword fight / going to try to beat up Manu Bennett. And I am so there for that.
Well,
I'm really excited.
We'll try and find out some more about that soon.
Yeah, the movie doesn't look wholly original. I mean, I've seen a lot of movies like this with this concept of like controlling a real life person and that sort of thing, but depending on how they do it, it could end up being pretty good. I swear I saw John Malkovich in that trailer, but I don't think I did.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, but I mean, the fact that like Manu's in it and Lyndon, I mean, they've got quite a few things in their repertoire, so maybe it'll be really awesome and we'll be surprised.
Okay, very quickly back to Killing Animals. Weirdly enough, Palo Alto has had a movie adaptation, or is going to have a movie adaptation. I'm not sure if it's actually... I think it did actually start airing. But Killing Animals is definitely one of the stories in Palo Alto, so I don't know if they adapted parts of it into Palo Alto and they're making a second miserable movie, but yeah, it's definitely part of that, because I knew I'd read kind of that story. So that should be interesting, if you like that kind of thing. You can catch Cody there, and if you like video game movies where you jump in and control everything in order to save the world, you can watch Lyndon there. So,
yeah.
Okay. Quickly going through who else have we got. J.R. Bourne has had some... He's obviously coming back to Teen Wolf. He's had some TV guest spots, basically, in the past year or so, including Unreal, which I haven't seen, but Brooke loves and is apparently really good. Suits, which people really like. Satisfaction, which I haven't seen. And Arrow, which Karen knows about. So what was he like in Arrow?
He was incredible. Yeah. He was one of the bad guys. He had card tattoos all over his body, and he could peel them off and throw them at people. Ooh. And kill them. It was really intense, and, like, I was very attracted to him. It was, and the look worked on him. And the best part is, he's not dead, so he could come back. So let's hope that happens.
Okay, so that's him. And he's also the lead in, I think, a Lifetime murder mystery movie called The Preacher's Sin. So if you're a massive J.R. Bourne fan, you can go and look that up, but I probably won't watch it, I'm not going to lie. The TV stuff is interesting. I am quite keen to see Unreal, so that could be a fun one to look at in the future. But, yeah, what was the character called on Arrow?
Oh, you had to ask me that.
Sorry. I did see this earlier.
He was Jeremy Tell, a.k.a. Double Down.
Oh, okay. Well, that's him. Obviously, Arrow fans would have spotted him already, but if you are keen to watch that kind of stuff. And let's talk very quickly as well about Colton Haynes. Obviously, we were still talking about cast members that are part of the show. Colton is not, but I believe that his character has returned to Arrow as well. Is that right?
Not yet, but he's meant to.
Oh, okay.
So he should be showing up at some point.
Okay. Did he not die?
He did not die.
That's good. That's good. Very, very quickly, while we're on this topic of Colton Haynes, and then we'll get back to the main cast, he does have a movie coming out that I'm actually quite keen to see called Triumph. The synopsis is, a bright and determined teen who has mild cerebral palsy strives to be a wrestler on his high school's team and goes to humorous lengths to win over the heart of a classmate, the girl of his dreams. Is this the kind of sports movie you would cry in, Karen?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know, right? Like, I'm actually quite keen to see this. So this will just be, like, a sweet, like, low-key, like, overcoming adversity little high school sports movie that I definitely is, like, right up my alley. So look out for that one. And he also had a little role in San Andreas, which was another one of those big American, disaster situation movies, starring Dwayne Johnson, The Rock. And I did not see that movie, but apparently Colton Haynes was in it and had a lot of big people in it. So he had basically a small part in something that was a very massive production, like had the experience of being on, you know, a big, huge set of a big, huge action movie. So that is, you know, an experience that I think all actors, if they get the chance, you know, should take, just to see if that's kind of where they want to go with their career. I sound like I'm like a actor guru or something, but I do. I think you get a small part in something like that big. It's like a really good way to see if that kind of production is what you want to aim towards. So, yeah. Anyway, moving back on to back up to the current cast. Sorry. Melissa Ponzio, when she's not on Teen Wolf, is, like, I think a regular in Chicago Fire, which I haven't seen, but I'm told is very good. That show also, if you happen to be interested in Team Star Kid, has had guest actor stars, including, I think, Dylan Saunders and Joe Walker and a couple of other star kids.
Really?
Yeah, as working actors, as the featured murderer or victim of the week, if you know what I mean. I believe Joe Walker was involved in an episode about, like, kink culture, and they found him, like, trapped in a sex swing. So just in case that's what you're into, you can watch Chicago Fire.
Oh my God.
Yeah. But he's always on location in Chicago a lot of it. Mm-hmm. They ended up, yeah, so, you know, actors working and living out of Chicago, which Starkid do. So a couple of them got roles, basically, you know, single episode jobs on Chicago Fire.
That's amazing. It makes me want to watch it even more. You've written down here, I'm told this is good. I've heard the same thing, and it's actually like a trilogy of shows. There's like Chicago Fire, Chicago PD. Yeah, and then Chicago... Is it Med?
I'm not sure. Ian Bowen's in Chicago PD, though. Oh, he was.
Yeah, it's pretty cool what they're doing with, like, these trilogy
of
shows.
It's a mixed universe, is it? Of, like, it's a crossover.
Yeah,
universe.
I think they've actually crossovered before, because I want to say Melissa's shown up on one of the other ones. But maybe I'm making that up.
I have no idea. But, yeah, I am told that is good, and maybe I will watch it.
Oh my God, now I really need to watch this for the Star Kids stuff.
Yeah, there's definitely a Dylan Saunders episode, and there's definitely a Joe Walker episode.
Oh my God, okay,
those are NBC dramas, and I usually quite like what NBC does. Yeah, there's a spin-off. Chicago PD is a spin-off of Chicago Fire, and it's a police procedural. And they've also crossed over with Law & Order Special Victims Unit. So that's interesting. If you want to check that out, that's quite interesting. And I don't know how often Melissa Ponzio's on it, but she is on it. you know.
She's the wife, I think, of one of the main characters.
Yeah. And Jesse Spencer's in it. If you were a fan of House, he is in this. He's one of the leads. So maybe I will have to watch this show. Okay, moving on to that. Seth Gilliam, is he still on The Walking Dead?
Yes, unfortunately.
You hate him on The Walking Dead, right?
I do. He's terrible.
Like evil or like
no. Evil? He's like a priest and basically let all of his church followers die, like succumb to zombies, and he ran away, and then he's done some other terrible things because he's super cowardly. And I mean, fair, there are zombies, but then you have Carl, who's like 10, who has killed more zombies than, you know, Seth's character ever will, and he's just annoying and stupid, and it's a matter of time before he's dead. I'm surprised he's not dead yet.
Okay, but Melissa Spondio's dead.
She's super dead.
Okay, good. Just checking. Well, I just wanted to check about that because I know that you watch that show very obsessively.
Yes.
Okay, a couple of other little things about people who are currently on the show but not in massive roles. Cody St. New, who plays Brett. I just wanted to put this down because this sounds like literally my dream kind of movie. He's actually coming out in a movie called The Thunderers, which is a British production. It's billed as a love story about Wales, a comedy about drama, and a romance about sports. And I bet that this is just going to be a little low-key romantic comedy with, like, beautiful cinematography of, like, villages and stuff. And I am going to, like, go in for it hardcore. The girl, the lead girl in it, is also an actress called Eleanor Crawley, who I already know. She's the girlfriend of an actor that I really like, and she's in British stuff. Like, she's in the British acting scene that I follow, so that's quite exciting for me if this movie actually comes out. So I will be
Vikings. She is in Vikings,
and her boyfriend is in Vikings. The guy who she's going out with that I know her from is in Vikings. If you've seen George Blagden, who plays Athelstan, it's his partner. Anyway,
what's his name?
The guy is called George Blagden.
But his character's name?
Athelstan, the priest.
Okay.
Have you seen it?
No, it sounded like you said Applestan, okay. And I was like somebody who really likes apples.
Applestan. I really like Vikings, but anyway. Yeah, so he's in that. Cody St. New is in that, and I'm actually quite keen to see that if it ever eventuates. Kyle in Rambo, if you sort of fell in love with Mason, is a regular or was a regular in a show that's still going called The First Family, which is a syndicated show, so it just kind of airs on different networks. It's like a little casual comedy, basically about the president living in the White House, and it's like a black presidential family, and he's the son, like he's one of the presidential children, like the first, you know, first son or whatever you call it and it's got like Jackie Harry, who was in like, you know, Sister and stuff like that. And it's got I think Gladys Knight is the grandma, so it's like a big like all-star black cast basically, which is like
Has been going since 2012, and this is the first time I've been hearing
too.
About
I,
it.
I did not know, but I don't know how, like, if it's just on, like, you know, it just airs on, like, you know, afternoon TV for kids or something, but he's in it, and he is, you know, he's still in it, like, as far as I know, Kylan, so if you are a big fan of him, you could check that out, basically.
He looks really cute in the promotional material. He's got like a little tie under his little sweater.
Yeah, so that's a thing. And then the other thing I wanted to talk about, I forgot that he was actually back in the show now, is Gideon Emery. Gideon Emery is obviously coming back to Teen Wolf as Deucalion, but you can also go right now to the cinemas and see him in a movie called Krampus, which is a what? Why are you laughing?
Why did you say this movie is a big deal?
It is a big deal.
Why is it a big deal?
It's like, I don't know how to describe it, but this is a massively big deal in, like, the film industry, this movie. Like, the writer.
Really?
Yeah. This is not a joke. This movie is a big deal. So this Krampus is basically a horror film. It's a Christmas horror film that's come out. based on the character from German folklore, which is Krampus is like a Christmas demon, like basically, like it's a real, not a real thing, but it's like a mythological thing. And this is a CGI, this is basically like the new like Grinch that stole Christmas, if you know what I mean. But this movie has been in production for a really long time. It's been really, really hyped by like the acting community, and like it, this is a big deal in the like independent film industry. Like I promise, oh my I was not God. Making that up. And its cast is pretty much all star. His cast is Adam Scott, so that's Ben Wyatt from Parks and Rec. Toni Collette, that's the husband and wife, and then they've got kids. And they are basically having Christmas and stuff like that. And because the child like loses his Christmas spirit and gets angry, he inadvertently summons the Krampus, which is the Christmas demon. This sounds ridiculous, I understand. And it's like, you know, it got a CGI villain and stuff like that. Gideon is the voice of Krampus. Like, he's the voice of...
That's what I was going to ask, because he does so much voiceover work.
Yeah, he is the voice of the Krampus character.
Oh my God.
So this is a Christmas, like, movie based on this folklore. I promise you, like, Seth Green's in it. Like, this is a big deal to, like, people who low-key really care about, like, film and comedy. So this, and I've seen so many people on Twitter being like, Krampus is my number one movie of the year. Like, so just so
you
know.
Oh my God.
Yeah, you can go and see that. You know, it's going to be like a Christmas, like, cult classic. So you can go see that. It should be in cinemas right now. Hopefully. I know that it came out a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Yeah, it's a bit of a weird one, I understand, but that's a thing that has happened. And yeah, Gideon is in that. So yeah. Not sure what else to say about that, really. There it is.
Well, I'm impressed, because I was like, oh my God, this movie is so terrible. Why would anyone want to see a horror movie during Christmas? And now I kind of want to go see it.
Yeah. It's meant to be a big deal. So that's the current cast, kind of. I'm not sure of anyone else in the current cast with projects. We'll talk a little bit about, very quickly, about some of the former cast members who have got some stuff on that, just very, very quickly, that is kind of a bigger deal than, you know, than expected. Daniel Sharman, he was in a pilot that didn't get picked up, and I will be unhappy forever about it, because he was going to be in this medical drama, and it was going to be him and a bunch of other people, and Andy Mientis, who's a Broadway actor that I love, he was also in Smash, and him and Daniel Sharman took, like, the cutest selfie in the world together while they were producing the pilot, and then the pilot didn't get picked up, so it's cancelled, and it's not going to happen, and I'm really annoyed that we're never going to see this show. So that was the thing Daniel Sharman did in 2015.
But does that mean that he can come back to Teen Wolf now?
Yes, I hope so. But he's also in a movie coming out, and I am not joking, I am not making this up. I discovered this a few weeks ago and, like, almost threw myself off a bridge. Called Albion, the Enchanted Stallion, which is a 12-year-old girl is transported by a magical black stallion to the mystical world of Albion, where she discovers that she alone is the key to saving an entire race of people. So this is, like, you know, probably, like, low budget, you know, kids fantasy, you know, weird, you know, vacation slot, you know, one of those movies that just has to exist to, like, you know, fill space, if you know what I mean. Except, yeah, I say that, like, with a title like that, except, let me read you some of the people who are in the cast of this
movie. Yeah.
Jennifer Morrison, Deborah Messing, John Cleese. Like, this has big celebrities in this movie, and it's called Albion, the Enchanted Stallion. And so I don't understand how this has happened or what's going on. Anyway, he plays Lyr with a little, like, umlaut thing above the eye, so I think that he's probably from the mystical race of people. But this is, like, big actors in this movie. Can you explain to me what is happening here?
No, I can't. All I want to know is if he's going to be an elf, because if he's an elf, I will go see this movie.
I feel like he's going to be something, you know,
yeah,
something.
It does sound like it's potentially like a kid's movie, like those kind of movies that you just take like your 5-year-old niece to or something like that.
Yeah, but it sounds like one of those movies that was made in the 80s. Like, it's 2016. We don't title things Albie and the Enchanted Stallion anymore. Like, they would have come up with like a jazzier name than that, if you know what I mean. This sounds like it was made in the 80s. Like, but
yeah.
Let's go see it with Brittany. She loves Deborah Messing.
That's true. I'm really into the fact that Jennifer Morrison's in this because she's from Once Upon a Time, so that's cool.
Yeah. So yeah, these are not small actors, and I don't understand like why this movie looks so ridiculous, but it has this cast. So maybe it's like secretly good. Who knows? I tried to see if it was based on like a famous kid's book or something, and it's not. So yeah. Speaking of Once Upon a Time, past Teen Wolf cast member Cinqua Walls, he's back on Once Upon a Time. Did he not die?
Yeah, apparently not. We don't really know what's going on, but he's definitely back as Lancelot, which is super exciting because I loved him as Lancelot, and I was really sad when they killed him off. I just hope he's not like an evil reincarnation, because that's totally a thing that could happen on Once Upon a Time.
Literally exactly what happened with Lancelot on Merlin. Just so you know, on BBC's Merlin, Lancelot died and then he came back as a shade. So,
okay, that makes me really sad and scared because he is wonderful.
Yeah. Anyway, besides from him, what else have we got? I want to talk for a second a couple of actors that were in the show. Oh, well, some of them are in the show. Tom Choi, who plays, obviously, Ken Yukimura, our fave. Hopefully he'll be still popping up during season 5B and 6 of Teen Wolf. We don't ever want to let go of Tom Choi. He's a treasure. Mm-mm. He's going to be an Agent Carter.
Yay!
Can you believe it? He's playing a doctor called Dr. Chung, and he's going to be in the second season, towards the end of the second season. I can't believe he's going to be an Agent Carter. That's just...
I hope he's totally ridiculous, because he's best when he's the ridiculous one.
It's so good, and I'm really excited as well. Agent Carter's been working very hard on, like, exemplifying diversity, and you've got, like, obviously he's an Asian, like, Korean doctor right after Second World War, right after, like, you know, it was still, you know, there was still... you know, a fair amount of racism and segregation, you know, in the 40s. So for there to be like a practicing doctor in the 40s in the USA, Asian, like, I don't know how common that was or how not common that was, but Agent Carter have chosen to include it. So it's quite fun. And another lady who was in Teen Wolf for only a small amount of time, but we really loved the character when she was on it, is Yvonne Call. She played Araya on, you know, the lead of the... South American hunting tribe. And we really liked her when she was on the show. She's a veteran actor. Like, she's incredibly famous, you know, for her character work. She was in Glee as, like, Santana's grandmother who was, you know, homophobic and stuff like that. She's been in all sorts of things.
Oh, my God. I don't think I realized that was her.
Really?
Because I didn't know who she was back then.
Yeah. Well, anyway, that was her. But at the moment, awesome. At the moment, she is starring in Jane the Virgin, which is a fantastic, amazing show that you need to watch if you have not already watched it. She's in Jane the Virgin as Alba Villanueva, so she's Jane's grandmother, Jane, the lead character's grandmother, and she's amazing in it. Like, this is a really strong ensemble show. Like, every lead, like, all of the women in Jane's family, like, and the two lead boys and a couple of other characters as well. Like, it's a really solid ensemble, and she's unbelievably good in it. So you guys should watch Jane the Virgin and see her, and then, you know, keep in the back of the mind that she could, like, kill you with guns or a knife whenever she wanted to. So she's obviously not a really big part of the Teen Wolf universe, but Jane the Virgin is so good that, yeah, I enjoy her existing. So, yeah. What else have we got? We've got a couple of things. Last week I told you guys a little bit about Tyler Hoechlin and what he's been doing, because he's had a bunch of movies that he's been working on. As I said, Everybody Wants Some is the new Richard Linklater movie that is coming out. The baseball, like, college in the 80s had the terrible moustache movie. That, as I said, that movie will be a big deal. That will be a film festival movie. That will be probably a cinematic release movie. I don't know if, as I said last week, if it's going to go in, like, the Boyhood direction of, like, Oscar Richard Linklater movie, or if it will go in the direction of, like, cult teen comedy, like Dazed and Confused, if it'll be like the teen comedy kind of one. But this movie's going to be a big deal, so just be prepared for that, Tyler Hoechlin fans. He's also working on about four other things, or was working about four other things. The other baseball movie he was doing, Undrafted, with Aaron Tveit, that's in post-production. He's in something called Stratton, which is a British film. And Dominic Cooper's in it, my fave, and Tom Felton, just so you guys know.
Oh,
so,
wow.
This is a British special boat service agent tracks down an international terrorist cell. So this is going to be like an action, thriller, military thing, and it's based on a novel series, I think. Henry Cavill is in it as well. Oh, no, he's a producer. That's weird. Henry Cavill of Superman is in it, but Tyler Hoechlin's in this, in the UK.
What's Hoechlin's part going to be?
He's playing a guy called Marty. I don't know who Marty is. They work out of Northern Ireland. Nearly everyone else in it is British, so I don't know if he's going to be playing a British guy or...
That's what I want to know.
But yeah, I watch every single thing that Dominic Cooper ever does, so I will be seeing this movie. So yeah, that's quite fun. And then I believe I also saw that one of his other films that he worked on quite a long time ago, called Melvin Smarty, is getting, again, reproduced, like the way that the Tyler Posey Tarko one was, like that it is getting reworked on and re-released or re-filmed or something like that. But I'm not quite sure of what's going on with that. But I'm excited for Everybody Wants Some. I'm excited for Stratton. I'm excited for Undrafted. I really want to get my hands on all of these films once they actually come out. But, yeah, Karen's excited for Tyler Hoechlin to have a British accent, apparently.
I don't know if I'm excited, but I would like to see what it sounds like.
I want to see him try.
Yes.
But, yeah, the book series is apparently quite famous. So, yeah, I think that'll be a fun one. And I believe that it's already shooting, or it has been shooting, so I don't know when that'll come out. Who else have we got? We have got, very quickly, the Carver twins did a movie together called Fist Fight, in which they're playing twins, and that's going to be like a comedy film that might be quite a big deal. It's got like Ice Cube in it and Tracy Morgan, stuff like that, Christina Hendricks, so that could be sort of a relatively big comedy. I don't know much about their role. And then Max himself, just on his own, is in a new TV series that's coming out. It's set to premiere in January. It's called Filthy Preppy Teens, or something of that nature. Filthy Preppy Teens. And it's basically a comedy series that's parodying stuff like Pretty Little Liars and Gossip Girl. And basically what happens is that two wealthy teen siblings try to reclimb the social ladder after being presumed lost at sea. It's going to be, I don't know what network it's going to be on. Again, I think it's syndicated. I think it's going to be kind of sent around to a few networks. So I don't know where you guys will be able to watch that. But that should be interesting. It's an spin-off of a special that was on Adult Swim. So it's going to be like really ridiculous, gross comedy, probably. And Casey Wilson, if you guys know Casey Wilson from Happy Endings, she's a really great comedic actress. She's in it as well. So that sounds like a thing that sure does exist. Does that sound like something that you would watch, Karen?
Not in the slightest.
Didn't think so, but I'm sure some people will really like it. It's going to be like a true satire show. So if you kind of like, you know, making fun of overdramatic teenagers, this show might be a good one for you. And it's meant to come out in January. Okay, not too much else. And we will finish up very momentarily. after Karen tells us about some MTV projects. But I just wanted to very quickly mention Megan Tandy has had a few episodes in a show called Survivor's Remorse, which is a Starz show produced by Mike O'Malley, who's a fantastic comedy writer, but he also played Bert Hummel on Glee. And that's a really show, really relevant to my interest, because it's all about, like, how fame fucks people up, basically. So it's like, through a combination of God-given talent and Boston grit, Cam Calloway and Reggie Vaughn have achieved fame and fortune that neither could have imagined growing up in one of the toughest neighborhoods in Boston. But success comes with its own challenges, and the cousins and confidants wrestle with the rewards of money, stardom, love, and occasionally the guilt of having made it. So it's kind of a, you know, a show. I think like the talent they're talking about, it's like hip hop culture show and stuff like that. And she's been in 4 or 5 episodes of that show. So if you're a big fan of Megan Tandy, that show actually looks fantastic. So I kind of want to check that one out really soon. And if you like really, really cheesy Christmas movies, you can see Jill Wagner, who is obviously Kate Argent, in a fantastic new Christmas movie called Christmas in the Smokies, which is a modern-day Christmas classic set in the beautiful Smoky Mountains, tells the story of one family's journey to save the historic Berry Farm against all odds again during one fateful holiday season. I hardcore love movies like this. I literally can... You know how you like bad action movies? I love bad, like, family lifetime movies, like, a lot. Like, especially if they're about Christmas, a royal family, or, like, something else. I love them. So, yeah, I would totally watch this movie if it happened to be on television. But if you like, you know, your comforting family Christmas movies, if that's, like, a feel-good thing for you, you can look that one up. And then very quickly, we just finished Legend of Korra on Rewatchable. So now Karen has heard an entire season of Zelda Williams, who we will always decide that belongs to Teen Wolf, even though she has been in only 2 episodes, as Kuvira. So how did you feel about that?
Yeah, that was interesting. I think Kuvira is a really interesting character. I kept trying to listen for, like... Yeah, and I couldn't quite picture her when Kuvira was talking, but it doesn't matter. It was exciting that she was there anyway, and I've heard stories about how much she loved doing that and how much appreciation she has for being in the Avatar universe, so that's always great.
Yeah. Okay, we'll go on to Shannara and stuff like that now. So MTV's actual side projects besides from Teen Wolf, Karen, do you want to tell us a bit more about that? What?
Did we talk about Hayley Webb?
Oh, we didn't. No, sorry. Yeah, I'll tell you about this because you'll be disappointed again. another person who we'll never let go of, which is Hayley Webb, she has a couple of things coming out, one of which is quite a big deal, one of which is ridiculous. The ridiculous one comes first. It's called Single in South Beach, and I don't know when this is going to come out. This is a rom-com. Amy, an attractive single woman, confuses love with money and becomes victim of the materialism of South Beach, Miami. Her life reaches a point of no return and soon discovers that in South Beach, not everything is as good as it looks. Wow, maybe this is, like, dark. Anyway, the point is, Hayley Webb is the lead lady in this. She's the main lady. And one of the main men in it is Kevin Sorbo, who played Hercules. And I included this because I wanted to know if Karen liked the Kevin Sorbo Hercules series, the one that tied in with Xena, or if your Hercules love is only the Disney version.
No, I totally loved this show.
Really? Yay.
Yes.
Well,
I did. Yeah, I saw it said with Hercules, and Hercules was all in caps, and I was like, what could this possibly mean? So I clicked on it, and the promo image for it is, yeah, it looks ridiculous. I love you, Hayley, but it looks ridiculous. And I actually didn't recognize him because he looks a little bit older now, but I scrolled down and saw his picture, and I was like, oh, that's so nice.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's happening. And the other one is Sugar Mountain, which we may have talked about before, but there's a bit more about it now. This movie looks like it could be quite a big deal. Like, this is a... two brothers, down on their luck, fake a disappearance in the Alaskan wilderness so they'll have a great survival story to sell, but the hoax turned out to be more real than they planned. Well, that sounds like a stupid plan, doesn't it? Anyway, the point is, this has a relatively big cast. It has Jason Momoa is in it, who is amazing. Carrie, I think he says Yules. I've always said L-U's, but yeah, Carrie Yules from, you know who Carrie Yules is, I assume. No. Princess Bride, Robin Hood, Men in Tights.
I've seen Robin Hood, Men in Tights.
Anyway, he's great. Hayley is, well, I'm assuming she's a semi-lead because she has the same last name as one of the lead characters, as Carrie Yule's character. So she's, you know, basically in that, you know, somewhere. And yeah, so this is like, Jason Momoa is a pretty big deal in this day and age. I don't know when this movie's going to come out. It's like a thriller drama thing, but this looks relatively interesting to me. So I'd be quite keen to see that, basically. It's apparently in post-production at the moment. So which of the two Hayley Webb movies would you prefer to see?
If I had to pick, probably Single in South Beach.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know about this other one.
I don't know. I would watch anything with Jason Momoa, but anyway, you just want to watch Hercules.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Okay. Well, let's move on from that. And talk about MTV's side projects as a company, like as a show, you know, as a platform mm-hmm. for shows. So as I mentioned at the top of the episode, you know, they didn't really do a lot of scripted shows before Teen Wolf, but that's sort of changed in a pretty major way.
Yeah, I find this fascinating, especially as somebody who used to watch MTV when it actually had music videos on it.
Yeah.
Then completely did not take it seriously before Teen Wolf because it was all reality shows and I thought they were the stupidest things in the world, and I still do. And then obviously Teen Wolf premiered and kind of changed the game, and then they started doing other shows like Awkward and Faking It, where it's, I mean, I still think it has kind of an MTV vibe, that sort of ridiculous comedy type about it, but it is slowly becoming almost, in my mind, like the CW, which does a lot of really interesting shows, a lot of superhero shows. And it's a place where shows can go where they don't have to hit those high numbers, but they can also kind of make the show they want to make. So if you try to get onto like CBS or NBC or ABC, you have to bring in high numbers. If you don't, you're going to get tossed aside pretty quickly. On places like the CW and MTV, you can get much, much lower numbers and because it's a cable network.
Yeah.
And so you can kind of – and they give you more freedom and stuff too, which is always really great. And I think that's one of the reasons why Teen Wolf works so well.
Yeah.
But the big thing coming to MTV soon is the Shannara Chronicles. And I'm sure we've mentioned it before, but if you have no idea what it is – this should definitely be on your radar because it's a high fantasy show, like with elves and stuff, on MTV. Like, I'm still not over this. And it follows a book series by Terry Brooks called The Shannara Chronicles. And this, the first season follows the Elfstones book. And it's got, like, a young cast. It has Manu Bennett in it. It has John Rhys Davies in it. It's produced by the guys who did Smallville. They did some other stuff that I can't think of right now. And what's his face is also an executive producer.
Wow.
Help me out.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Really? He's a Marvel dude.
Jose Molina?
No. Wrong link. Jon Favreau.
Oh, Jon Favreau. Really?
Yes.
Oh.
He's an executive producer. It says he's an executive producer of one episode, but I have a feeling that he sort of like kickstarted the thing.
Yeah.
And then he helped to get the ball rolling. Okay. Let me just give you a breakdown of why this show is so important. They went to New Zealand and filmed. They used a lot of the New Zealand actors and, like, especially the background people who were on Lord of the Rings. They used the CGI company who was part of Lord of the Rings. They obviously have people like Manu Bennett and John Rhys Davies, like, huge names, incredibly well-respected.
Mm.
And they cannot stop championing this movie. They are so into it. They sent out a press kit
worth $600. This was crazy.
It was literally a box of dirt that you dug through to get the stuff out of it. Like, they are putting everything into the show. And it's so, I've seen the first four episodes. It is so worth it. It is so good. And I was a little overwhelmed with the first two the first time I saw them. And I was like, I liked it, but I'm not sure. I watched them again, completely fell in love. Episodes 3 and 4, and Brooke agrees with me on this, even better than the first two. It is something you should definitely be watching.
Wow, that's a lot.
It is a lot. But, man, they're really hitting it out of the park with their, like, you know, giving out the press kits and sending out screeners and getting people hyped for it and the giveaways that they've been doing. And it's just really high quality stuff. And MTV is so excited for it. And this is just another step in that direction of MTV going for scripted fantasy genre shows. And it's, you know, Teen Wolf paved the way. And I think it's never going to be forgotten for that. But MTV is quickly stepping up their game, too, and I'm excited to see where Shannara Chronicles goes. But last thing, they still do a lot of comedies, and they have a couple of comedies that they've just given full series orders to. And two of these I'm not really excited for. The third one I'm extremely excited for. But the first one is, it stars Nicole Byer from Girl Code. Mm. And it's sort of a, like, it says, okay, Byer portrays a young adult who is forced to move in with her sister and four kids in the suburbs after causing a fire in a New York City apartment. Aunt Nicole will offer her own brand of advice to her sister's kids while trying to get her life back on track. Sounds fairly generic, but I think the fact that Nicole Byer, who's female, who's of color, who is not typical Hollywood standard, like, skinny, the fact that she's leading the show is really exciting. And in fact, all of these comedies are being led by women, which is really exciting. The second one, this one, I don't know if I can take this one seriously. Paige and Jordan may be weed dealers, but in their eyes, they're entrepreneurs. Their dope delivery app is quickly gaining popularity with foodies, celebrities, and the most particular and crucial consumer, hipsters. This pilot takes a hilarious look at two girls living in LA, desperate to succeed, find a little romance, and keep their clients happy and high, all with the least amount of effort possible. I'm sure that some people will find this absolutely hilarious. Definitely not my jam, but...
More power to them.
Yeah, exactly. But the really exciting one is called Little Darlings, and this was created by Jennifer Caton Robinson, and it reads, a dark half-hour comedy about two very, very unlikely friends taking justice into their own hands and kicking literal ass on their college campus. Jules comes off as the perfect sorority dream girl, but little do her red cup-toting sisters know she's got a completely different agenda come nightfall. Ophelia, your everyday stoner hacker hellion, has officially run out of Fs to give, and when she discovers Jules may be the masked vigilante exacting justice on campus, her interest in college life is re-energized. It's executive produced by Robinson and by Stacey Scher and Amanda Lasher, so totally being helmed by women, starring two.
That sounds like it's going to end in lesbians, just saying.
I mean, I would be okay with that.
Not in a bad way, obviously. But I'm like, you read that synopsis and I'm already shipping them, so, yeah.
I love the fact that the sorority girl is, like, the vigilante, and it's just, I think it's going to be really different, and if they can do it the way that I think they can, this could be really different and huge and sort of groundbreaking.
Have they cast these yet?
Oh, they just, at least I don't think so. I know they had the pilots, maybe they did, they had the pilots earlier, and then they gave the full series order to them recently. Well, if you look up Little Darlings on IMDb, You will not get what I was looking for. You will get a 1980 movie about two 15-year-old girls from different sides of the tracks compete to see who will lose their virginity first while at camp.
God.
So that is not the Little Darlings I was looking for. TV series, potentially. Yeah, I don't... Okay. It's possible they've cast for the pilot, but that does not mean that this will be the actual cast for the show. Eliza Bennett is Jules Thomas. I thought I knew... Yeah, she's been in some stuff. Taylor Dearden is Ophelia Mayer.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, so... You know, obviously MTV has been doing, like, Scream, the TV series, and Eye Candy, which unfortunately got canceled, which I really liked. And they're definitely branching out. And I think a couple of these comedies sound like typical MTV fodder, but I think Little Darling sounds really different. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping, you know, I'm hoping the Shannara Chronicles is, like, massively successful, and they'll just continue to move in this direction because, like I was saying before, MTV gives a lot more freedom to the people they have on their network versus like actual, you know, network shows. So,
yeah,
could be the page for MTV soon. Who knows? And that'll be trippy.
All right. Was there anything else that we wanted to say before we wrap up here?
I don't think so.
Cool. Well, I think that's about everything that we can get out of basically what we know about what the cast is doing for the next, you know, has been doing for the past year or is doing for the next year aside from Teen Wolf. Feel free to let us know if you know anything about any of these projects or if you're really excited for one of them or something like that. Come and talk to us about that, and that would be really fun. And you know, we always try and post the big news forum. We always try and post the big deal news, you know, on Hyperball or on the Tumblr. But obviously, there's a lot of cast members, you know, that aren't really necessarily massive parts of Teen Wolf, so we kind of save it for the podcast. But yeah, that's what we've got for you. And then after this, we'll start looking towards 5B and what we can expect coming out of there. So that's very exciting as well. Yeah, any special bits of news today, Karen, about Teen Wolf or about the rest of the world? Is there anything you feel like telling the universe?
Can I tell them what I was doing earlier this evening?
I don't know.
I don't see why not.
Okay, you can tell them.
Okay. I've seen the premiere of Teen Wolf 5B. And it's pretty good. It's probably going to make everybody cry.
Oh, well, there you go. First spoiler-free review of Teen Wolf 5B, so that's intense. I had a meltdown slightly before recording this episode because by the time you're hearing this, it'll be a little bit old news because this won't come out immediately, but we just got the casting report today for the Harry Potter and the Cursed Child play in London, which I was tangentially excited about. I thought I'd be okay with like just getting a copy of the script and reading it if I didn't get to see the play. Yeah, they've just cast as Harry my number one favorite unknown actor in the entire world, who I've been a fan of for the past 10 years. Like, my number one favorite, this person isn't a celebrity, but I have been obsessed with everything he's ever done, actor who's a British stage and small screen actor called Jamie Parker, and I had a literal physical panic attack in which I started shaking. So that was my day before recording this podcast while Karen was watching her Teen Wolf exclusive preview. So yeah, we've both had a bit of an interesting night. I guess until next time, that's it for us. Come and talk to us on Twitter or Tumblr, and we'll chat to you again, you know, as soon as possible, basically. So until then, bye-bye.
Bye.
Everybody wants some. Everybody wants some. Baby, I-
but it's basically the story synopsis says when Maggie finds her when Maggie this phrasing is terrible. When Maggie I'm just going to paraphrase it.